Good morning. It is 8:12. This is Galesburg Live. Glad to have you with us here on this Saturday morning. Tom Meredith, I'm your host, and our guest this hour is the owner of Thrushwood Farms here in Galesburg, Jim Hankus. They have been around now as of next month, celebrating their 40th anniversary. Jim, good morning. Thanks so much for coming in with us this morning.
Well, good morning. It's a beautiful morning out, absolutely. Still glad to be inside with you today. You know, I'll take it.
Absolutely. So, next month, celebrating the 40th anniversary. Well, okay, let's talk some history. How did you get started in this in the first place?
Well, it's kind of crazy. You know, you hear stories like this, but actually, one day I was at my brother's farm, which it was in Fairbury, Illinois, mm-hmm. when it was going. It was a pork farm. And we were actually sitting at the kitchen table and started drawing out ideas for a meat processing plant so we could go from farm to table. And you got to realize this is way ahead of its time. This is 40 years ago. So, you know, typical of any place, you know, we've got a pen and a napkin, and we're kind of drawing out these ideas. And then my brother Ray, who was, and I were sitting there at the table, and then his brother-in-law Bill walks in. Well, Bill joins in the conversation, and the next thing you know, the idea was created. Of course, we all had farm backgrounds, and we all had meats backgrounds, because I've got my master's degree in meat science from the University of Illinois. My brother Ray has his bachelor's, master's, and PhD. And then Bill Fugit had his bachelor's and master's from Purdue. Mm-hmm. So we're all a bunch of meat guys, you know, and we're thinking, you know, this is we want to go farm to table and all this, and so that's how the idea created, and then one thing led to another, and we got to thinking, where in the state of Illinois would we locate? You know, do we locate up towards Chicago area? Do we locate in that Champaign-Urbana area? Do we locate, and we wanted to go where we thought there'd be livestock available.
Well, even where you were, just north of Bloomington Normal in the Fairbury area, too.
We looked at that, but we didn't think there was quite enough population.
Okay.
Quite frankly, we knew that at the time, people that have been around long enough, they know that there was a Western Zero Locker here in town that had closed in the 70s and different things. So we looked at the topography of the land. We looked at the livestock numbers and stuff, and with Henry County being the hog capital of the world at the time and everything, and so we kind of focused on Galesburg.
Mm-hmm. That is a great story, and like you said, you're definitely meat guys, that's for sure.
Well, here's the kicker on that. You know, you couldn't do a Google search or you couldn't do anything, so if you wanted to learn more about a community, we literally, my wife Kay, had to go to the Urban Library at the University of Illinois and look up all the information you could on Galesburg. And then I made a couple trips over here and actually met years ago. I'll bring another with Tom Flint and met with the Chamber of Commerce in Galesburg. And they were very helpful at the time because that was, you know, they were in charge of economic development and trying to get folks here. And Galesburg had a great source of electricity, which we use a lot of. And they had this tremendous water source. I mean, in the water source, we go through, currently I go through over 1 million gallons of water a year.
Wow.
So, you know, the water source that somebody from Galesburg years ago had the foresight to put in was a nice attraction to us and everything. And at the time, we just saw Galesburg as a great community that was poised to grow, though, you know, we've kind of hit some rough times along the way, and we haven't grown like we would like to see the community grow, but everything just kind of fell into place for us to settle here.
Well, you mentioned you wanted to do farm-to-table. That's before farm-to-table even was a thing. I mean, that's a term that most of us had not heard till the last few years.
Oh, yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, we were too far ahead of the game. I mean, if we could have jumped on that maybe, you know, 10 years ago or 20 years ago, we'd have been current. But we were just so far ahead of the game, and somebody says, no, you never did that. I said, no, we got ads, we got documents, we can show you. Yeah, we were, you know, from conception to consumption. You mm-hmm. know, I mean, we had all these neat little cutie, you know, ideas and stuff, and we did have, you know, things in place, and it just wasn't working quite the way, you know, we saw, because distribution of meat at that time, if people are in the meat business or are aware, was changing. You know, you went from carcasses to vacuum packaged cuts to the stores. You know, you didn't get the whole big fresh chunks in. It came in boxes. it was at the kind of at the beginning and the evolution of boxed beef.
Mm-hmm. So you decide on Galesburg. Talk about the start, how you decided on the location, and what you were doing at the beginning.
Well, when we opened up, we wanted to be more than your traditional locker plant. We were a meat processing plant. So we did want to harvest and process the live animals, and we offered that processing service for our customers until a year ago this month. And we were offering certain cuts to the restaurants, and we were making sausages and hams and bacons and stuff like that. We wanted a nice broad mix so we could kind of cover everything. And so we did that when we first opened. We were actually buying Angus cattle out of Peoria Stockyards at the time, and we'd get 8 or 10 head in a week to process through the store and orders and different things. And then as things evolved, you know, we kind of got into the 80s. And if you remember the 80s, they were kind of tough economically. Farm community was feeling it. Everybody's feeling it. And then that's when we decided, okay, we've got this facility here. What can we do to generate more money, more funds? And that's kind of when we got heavier into the catering type stuff, and when we were doing catering. And actually that's, you know, I think around 1980 is when we first started our cookouts. Because, you know, we came out of the what I call the snow quarter, or the no quarter, that first quarter of the year. You know, I got January, February, March. I mean, you got the slow times, and we got to generate some cash. So, and we had worked
kind of looking for a way to kind of jumpstart things,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, and bring people back out to us to the edge of town.
Yeah.
You know, because you're in the wintertime, and you go to the store, you're getting your bread, your milk, your groceries and meat and stuff, and I don't blame you. You go home. And so we would use the cookouts to remind people we're out there on 2860 West Main and to bring it. Now, of course, we've got Instagram, Facebook, and all these other things we can help use to promote, but we still continue the cookouts, which will continue here in May again.
We were talking about that all the year. I was begging Jim to do it all the time. I'd take year round if nothing else. I'm just saying. But anyway,
yeah, no,
but I'm always look forward to May and the cookouts you have. So how about the retail side of it? When did that start?
Well, the retail, we were always had the retail store open.
Yep. Oh, okay.
We just expanded it. When we opened up the retail store, we had a 12-foot frozen case, and we had 20-foot fresh case, and then over time it evolved, putting in the deli case and then putting in some more freezer display, and then everything kind of evolved. And then about 12 years ago or so, 10-12 years ago, we built onto the front of the retail store and kind of changed things a little bit, opened it up more, added some more cases and some more display. And so it's kind of interesting because we have three sons, two in business and one out on the East Coast. And whenever we go out to the East Coast, when Rich was living in Philadelphia, or now he's living in New York, in the Manhattan area, we always go to the different specialty shops. And, you know, we just kind of cob on the ideas, you know, hey, this would look good. And now it's interesting. Now when we go out there to visit, we go to these same stores and it's like, yeah, we're carrying this, or we're carrying this, or we had the opportunity to go to Seattle the 1st of December, and we go to one of the specialty stores in Pike's Market, and it was almost like walking into our store because they had sausages and snack sticks and jerky and all these little specialty imported items, you know, and it was amazing how much it mirrored what we're doing.
Well, and it's always been a family business, a family affair. Obviously, you have more people working, but well, then you know, you mentioned your son Richard, and he and Ashley, and we've talked to him on our morning show here. I know Terry had him on in the evenings as well, with the interesting living that they're making. So you have Richard traveling pretty much all over the world as well. So I'm guessing you still get some advice from him and say, hey, here's what I saw in Quebec or in wherever I'm at, Toronto or...
Well, we private label a lot. That's what our business has evolved into, where these companies have sought us out, and they've sought us out for our expertise. And so we do a lot of private labeling, co-packing for different large companies. And it was interesting because, oh, yeah, he sends us a picture, and one of the buses in New York City has this one company's brand billboarded on the side of that bus. And it's like, hey, Dad, look at that. There's your pictures of your product. And or like we go to a Whole Foods, you know, in the Columbus Circle, right there in the Time Warner building.
Oh, okay.
And good grief, we're looking at this display, and yep, that's made in Galesburg, Illinois. That's made in Galesburg. We make this one. We made like 9 different items that were on that rack.
And that's
pretty exciting.
Yeah, that really is. Yeah. So as a co-packer, let me try to understand what exactly it is you're doing, why they come to you. They come up with the idea, and they know you guys can produce it and produce a high-quality product? Or what's that whole process?
It's an interesting process. First of all, you know, about everybody thinks they make the best jerky and the best snack sticks in the world, you know, and so there's a lot of people out there looking. And there's a lot of small companies, and there's a lot of large companies, as we all know. And a lot of times they come here to Galesburg, they find out about us, and then they'll literally come in here for a day or two, and a couple days, visit us, see what we're made about, and then we kind of have our business exchange of what we can and can't do. And they are out there seeking companies maybe to make their product all over the country. The one thing they find out about us at Thrushwood Farms is that we have a lot of education for a small company. I mean, you know, I've got my bachelor's and master's. Kay's got her bachelor's. Doug's got his. Jeff's got his. Laura, one of our QA people, has hers. Rich has his degree. We've got a couple other. Mitch has his degree. I mean, we have probably 10 people out of 40 some employees that have college backgrounds and education, and a lot of us in the core management group, you know, we've got technical and science background, and this is huge for a large company to want you to manufacture product for them. I mean, they recognize our skills and our ability and our contacts that we have throughout the industry. And a lot of times people find us because a Dr. Sindelar from the University of Wisconsin, you know, the meat scientist, you know, people ask him, where can I go? And they'll give a list of where you could go. Or they may call the American Association of Meat Processors, which Doug happens to be president of this year. And, of course, we're kind of on the top of the list right now there and this type of thing. So that's been kind of a creativity. We've been featured in magazines, trade magazines, as a company that's recognizable to co-pack for. Doug actually didn't mention it the last time he was on the radio, but he was selected as one of the top 20 icons in the industry, future icons of the industry.
Wow.
Okay. By the National Provisioner, which is one of the largest trade magazines that's been around forever. Now, that's interesting because that includes meat scientists. That includes the Tysons of the world. That includes the Smithfields or the JBSs. I mean, that's a very elite group. But, we get calls every week, technical questions. Of course, we have our own technical questions that we bounce back off of other people. And so it's kind of, you know, we've kind of created a nucleus of intelligence at Thrushwood Farms that we're very proud of.
I'm guessing you would be hard pressed to find another organization your size or even a little bit bigger that has the amount of knowledge that you guys have within your walls there.
I would say that knowledge-based, you know, and not trying to brag or anything, it's just a cold, hard fact. Yes, you're very correct. There's only about 3 companies like ours that have the technology to the level we have in the United States. I mean, there's just a handful. And so we have the latest processing equipment and the latest of everything. And as we incorporate more of this equipment and stuff, it's really good for Galesburg because I think maybe we posted on Facebook or Instagram or something. Just in the last 30 days or so, we actually will have been responsible for booking about 200 rooms in the city of Galesburg for people visiting us. We have constant visitors all the time, you know, coming to us quietly. And it's great because they'll fly into, we try to get them to fly into Moline or Peoria. Sometimes they fly into Chicago or Des Moines and drive. And no. you know, and whatever. But
you can do it easier than that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but it is fun because a lot of times when we have this one group that we do a lot of work for, and one of the first times they came into, they flew into Moline, and part of them flew into Peoria, and they came here to converge on us, and they said, okay, you meet at the plant, and then we'll drive into town, and we'll grab something to eat, okay? And they said, well, but you're only allowing a half hour to get from your business to downtown Galesburg. I said, yeah, we only need about 7 or 8 minutes.
Yeah, but you might hit a couple stops couple stop signs and a stoplight or two.
You're used to driving in the traffic in San Francisco or whatever, and then all of a sudden they just can't believe the openness and uniqueness. Mm-hmm. So they really do enjoy coming here to this community because of, you know, and it's kind of historic, you know, with Seminary Street and with Knox College and everything. A lot of our visitors really enjoy coming here.
Jim Hankus from Thrushwood Farms joining us. They're celebrating their 40th anniversary coming up next month. We're going to take a break for news and talk more, a little more history, too. One thing in particular I want to ask Jim about. We'll talk about that, talk about meat and a lot of their products coming up. It is 8:29. It's Galesburg Live. Thrushwood Farms celebrating their 40th anniversary next month. Yes, they've been around for a long time. The owner, Jim Hankus, here with us this morning. Good morning again, Jim. And I wanted to talk about, you know, you had the concept, you and your brother-in-law, you came up with a place, you found the spot here in Galesburg, Illinois. What about the name? Did that come about as you were sitting around writing on napkins around your brother's table?
Well, you know, the name was, we kept thinking about different things. Do you incorporate like Galesburg in it? Do you incorporate like my name, Jim, or what do you do? And finally, at the time, there was Thrushwood Farms of Fairbury was the pork farm's name. And so we were there, okay, we created Thrushwood Farms Quality Meats Incorporated for the store. And the Thrushwood name came from, the farm was actually located in a little 90-degree bend, and across the bend there was this little stream that would run, and brown thrushes hung out there. Hmm. So that's how it got its name.
As opposed to Jim Wood Farm.
Right, or Jim's Meat Market, Galesburg Meat Market, or something. I mean, you know, you just kind of try to, what is something that was, we thought at the time, very, somewhat trendy or whatever, and it worked out. It worked out well, except for legally, it's a long name, Thrushwood Farms Quality Meats, Inc.
Right.
You know, you sign that a million times over 40 years, and it's like, so we have
that kinda, carpal tunnel thing appears, right?
Yeah. We've condensed it, you know, to Thrushwood Farms, and obviously if you Google Thrushwood or Thrushwood Farms, you know, we're able to shorten the name kind of, you know, trade-wise. Legal name just remains the same, but like, say, you Google Thrushwood Farms, and we come up. You know, there are a couple other Thrushwood farms. I think there might be a horse farm in Britain or something. And, you know, there's a few areas around, but we've capitalized, obviously, on that.
You know, I want to talk about, because you started initially the processing and everything, and you were doing some sausages and bacon. What about the recipes, like with the sausages? When did you start expanding and the jerkies and the snack sticks, those type of things? When did you start expanding into that? And also some of the recipes.
Well, that's kind of been kind of interesting because part of it was when Doug came home, I guess it's been over 10 years ago now, you know, and he was like I was at the time, but you travel around on the meats judging and livestock judging team and you're going across the nation and you're on road trips and you're stopping at gas stations and you're getting a can of pop or a bottle of water and you're grabbing a snack stick or jerky and you're in there with your college buddies, you know, that you've gotten to know, and you're all discussing it. Man, you grab some flavor from some company. It's like, oh, this is really good. Or you grab some and says, man, this is not good. We can make something better than that. And that's kind of where that created. We've just been blessed with a good instinct and making sausage, you know, for over 40 years to come up with this. Some companies that we co-pack for have their own ideas on formulas, and they have their own recipes that they want us to work with, and we have to tweak them. And some of them, if they're making certain claims on the package, we have to go through the approval process through the USDA to get them approved.
We were talking a little bit off the air that it's interesting that, you know, for you and me, if I'm going to grab a snack stick, I'm doing it for the pleasure of the taste. I like it because the taste goes in, and yours in particular. I love your teriyaki. You said probably maybe your best seller, is that right?
Or one, yeah, I think teriyaki is one of the top ones.
I mean, they're all good, but I absolutely but I like it's for the taste. I'm not just sitting there eating a ton of it, but you know, but there are some companies, Copac, for that are kind of leaning toward a more health conscious market, which I find rather interesting for that particular product.
You know, it's a protein snack, obviously, mm-hmm. you know.
Right.
And so some of the companies think they want to go a little bit more extreme, try to reduce, you know, as much sodium as you can. And, you know, we're using sea salts now, and we're using honey for sugar bases. And, you know, and so we've, you know, try to clean the label up, as they say in the industry now, as much as possible. But, you know, you have to be a little bit careful because, you know, we've always said this, even in the products we make in the store. You know, you can sell on price first time, every time, all the time. But to get repeat customers, it has to taste good. And so obviously, you know, if it's got to taste good, we want to have a combination of nutrition, values, and satisfaction. You know, it's got to satisfy you and make you want to come back, and let's have another one.
You know, one of the things I was glad to see you doing, like the packages of the ends or the cut up pieces, which I know you had told me before when you had you on that you had stopped because you'd gotten new machinery and it was more precise, so there really wasn't much left over. But now, so did you decide just like, okay, we're going to take our regular size piece already cut and then we're going to chop those, or what was the thought process behind that?
Well, the honest with you, the thought process is now our volume has kicked up to the point that we're creating lots of ends. In fact, we actually set up worked with a county market over in Monmouth, and they have a nice display of the ends set up over there.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're over in the Monmouth area and you're listening and you want to pop in, you can grab either our regular snack sticks and the single packs, or you can pick up some of the ends and pieces of some of our top flavors.
Yeah. Well, I said earlier, like with the teriyaki sticks, I won't eat a bunch of them because I usually will get one, sometimes two, but if I get the bag of the ends, that's a different story. Oh, it's hard to stop eating them.
It's kind of like the old chip ad, you know, you just can't stop with one. But actually, you know, after a certain amount, you get a couple ounces, then you are find out. It's interesting how you find out that protein satisfies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You know, it's interesting, you know, some of the things people might not know. One of them, what you'd mentioned, being a small business and all the people you bring to Galesburg for, you know, looking at your products at and the hotel rooms you fill up. And that's great for a small business, but also the fact that you guys are so well known worldwide, all the contests, different contests you've won for your different products. And I was looking at your website the other day and going back, into the early to mid 90s when you've been winning contests for different products. I mean, for years and years.
Oh, it goes all the way back to from the beginning.
Wow.
Yeah. Probably like 1979, 1980, even when we started competing. We've been very competitive because we've taken pride in creating good products. And then the awards we won, you know, the German awards, you know, the gold medals and silvers and the bronze. Or that we have hanging on the wall behind the fresh meat case.
Mm-hmm.
We have a nice to stir up on the wall. I mean, we're really proud of that. And it's nice to be known, you know, nationwide and even extending into worldwide for your competition.
As far as the meats like that you've won in contests, is it prepared? Like, are they smoked or is it different? Or sometimes you have to go and do you actually have to prepare it, cook it, or smoke it on site? Or
it's a cured and smoked meats contest.
Okay.
So it's a smoked meats contest.
Okay.
So it's prepared in your establishment under your guidelines, under your label. And then you have to enter it from there. So you have to transport it to wherever the contest is. And sometimes that's kind of a challenge, but such is life.
Have you ever had anybody at Copac for win awards like that?
Well, we haven't. We have some customers that we Copac for that we actually, it's like everything else, you know, in the food industry or a lot of industries, you know, it can go down the line and it gets your label on or it gets my label on or it gets the next guy's label on. So we have some people that use our recipes. And then we have entered those products, or we have some that we'll ask permission, you know, if we put our label on your product, you know, can we enter? And so we've had a little success with that. I mean, the whole recipe thing is really interesting as far as product development. And So it's a fun part of the business. Mm-hmm. But then we also have to, you know, you get some people that they're not familiar with the industry and they want to make certain claims like, you know, this is free range or this is grass fed or never fed this or that. And so then, you know, we have to source products that meet those claims. And then there's usually whenever you want to meet a claim and you have to have the paperwork on it, I mean, you have to have the documentation. So, you know, it's just like, you know, you or I couldn't raise some animals and say, well, they're pasture raised and they've never been fed this or this or this. You have to somehow have that documented and certified. Wow. And so we have to provide all the bookwork for that. And that's why even for a small company like us, we have two great full-time quality control people. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that just the two people in our business, that's their full-time job is the QA, QC work. And it's incredible the hoops you have to jump through. And that is part of the reason why it led us to stopping the custom processing for the farm community with the live animals and stuff like that. The regulations and the things involved just got incredibly expensive, and we just didn't feel that, you know, you hit a threshold where you can only feel like you can charge so much. Yeah. And then it just was getting out of our wheelhouse as far as the business. And so, you know, when we shut that down a year ago, then we just kind of cleaned up on reallocated that space to other parts of the business.
Jim Hankins, owner of Thrushwood Farms, joining us this morning. We'll take our final break and come back with our final segment. This is Galesburg Live.
I still can't.
Call at WGIL.com.
849 Galesburg Live. Tom Meredith, our special guest this morning, Jim Hankins, owner of Thrushwood Farms Quality Meats here in Galesburg, celebrating their 40th anniversary next year. And, you know, you mentioned the expansion of the retail side of things and seeing different things in different shops around the country. My goodness, you know, from your collection of salsas and hot sauces and, you know, even some of this. One of the things I love that you have that I will go, well, actually, I'll say two things that are not meat products, but I'll go to your frozen section. You've got the frozen dough ball so I can make my own homemade pizza. It's so easy. Just roll a thaw and roll it out. And then the Gino's pizzas, which used to be a staple in our house, and you can't find them anywhere else in retail anymore. I know Econo for years carried those, and you got those. So for some of those things, how did that work out with some of those products you carry?
Well, you know, as we evolved, you know, and we saw the demand, you know, people wanted more, or they'd ask us, do you know where I can get this, or do you know where I can get that? So you try to find that balance of what will sell, and can you turn it over quick enough for your customers and this type of thing. And so my wife Kay used to do all the procurement of all the specialty stuff. And then since Doug kind of came back into the business on the production side, and then Jeff has kind of come back into the specialty food side on the store and everything. So then Jeff's been sourcing it, and we work with different companies, you know, to bring in those different ideas. Yeah, that pizza crust is awesome. And there's a lot of, you know, little quick meal ideas mm-hmm. in there.
Oh, the Mona's sauce and
yeah,
and
the Mona's. And the, you know, tortellini. If you take the Mona's cheese tortellini, mm-hmm. and then if you melt, you know, you even melt like some cheese or some Velveeta or even American cheese or whatever, that makes the greatest mac and cheese. I mean, if you want some award-winning mac and cheese now, just put in those Mona's cheese, you know, tortellinis. And then, I mean, but so we try to do a nice balance so when people come through, you know, they can shop, and now we've got a good bread supplier, so we've got a nice supply of buns and rolls and stuff that we're carrying. And
well, I was like when you were carrying when the Danners was still around.
Yeah,
you
I know
had theirs. That was
I
nice.
Know we yeah. you know. And unfortunately, after being in Galesburg for 40 years, we've seen a lot of things come and go.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And we miss a lot of things, and we're just fortunate and blessed enough that we can keep providing our service to the community, and as the community keeps on growing. We do too.
Well, and then for those who like to grill and smoke, you've got a lot of supplies, including the wood chips and stuff, but also the grills themselves too.
We carry the Green Egg grills, and we carry the Smokin' Brothers pellet grills, mm-hmm. and we carry the pellets. And yeah, this is a great time of year because we'll sell a lot of briskets, and we'll sell pork butts, and we'll sell, you know, all this brats that we make, and we sell, you know, of course, a nice line of steaks and you know, with our 40th anniversary, we're to kind of look to see if we can maybe tweak in some other ideas and this type of thing. So, and if we have something in the back, and if we can cut it special, like on a day like today, you say, man, I need some thick pork chops. You know, let's get some of those. Or if I want a thick ribeye, or if I want a bunch of thin ones, because we're going to do some sandwich ribeyes, and I got a dozen people coming over, or this type of thing. And so we're going to try to keep working on this. And it's just a, you know, it's a great time of the year, you know, when spring and everything's evolving, you know, and it's another year and it's, you know, it's another benchmark. And, you know, so, you know, we just keep chipping away. You know, you sit there and think, man, somebody said something to me yesterday. He says, gosh, you've been walking these floors for 40 years. I says, tell me about it. There's some mornings I get up, you know, we can feel that, but we're just blessed that we were able to do that. And we just thank the community for being part of us and able to provide the services, to provide the jobs, and to provide us, you know, with the taxes we pay, you know, property taxes, sales taxes, and all that, that makes the world go round.
When you started, how many of you were there actually doing the work?
You know, actually, I was thinking back, and there was four or five of us we started.
And right now?
And right now, we've got, I believe, 38 full-time employees and four or five part-time employees. So after 40 years, it's like 40-40, you know?
Yeah.
40 years, 40 employees. And the interesting thing is, besides that, we have a lot more automated technology. I mean, you know, when Doug first started and came back, we were packing the snack sticks one at a time in a vacuum pouch. And now we've got machines that do that. We've got four different machines that'll package the snack sticks or bars. And then we've got the one, we've got two rotary machines that'll fill bags of jerky. So we get it. So if we have a good day in packaging, we can package 70 to 80,000 snack sticks in a day.
Wow, that's impressive. Where did the idea for the Galesburger come from?
Well, just, you know, it was just like everything else. A couple of us were standing around and it's a fun name and stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, it's not hard to figure that. And I know over the course of 40 years, there's been a lot of restaurants, they have featured their own Galesburger and stuff. So, you know, whether you're on the restaurant side or like us on the manufacturing side, you know, it's a fun thing to have and for people to look back. And the interesting thing after being there for 40 years is how many people that have left the community and are come back visiting, and they come in to the store. And they like to see, is Jim and Kay still here?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we're still kicking, you know. I mean, though I did laugh because somebody did ask me this Christmas holiday time, says, you know, what's your retirement plan? I said, I think in a couple of years I'll go down to 40 hours a week.
And
they said, oh, no. I said, no, you know, by the time you get there, about 6:15, 6:30 is a late start. Yeah. And then you get out of there, you know, the store closes at 5. Well, I mean, that means it's going to be 6 or so usually by the time you leave. And then if we've got smoke houses we're flipping, and that's, you know, it could be a late night. Like this morning, Doug was there at about 11:30, 12 o'clock, and I was there at 1. And that's one thing I want to mention that too, since we're on the air. There's a lot of times if you see and smell the hickory smoke coming out of the building, that's natural.
Yeah.
Because we have these massive smoke houses. And when we go through what's an evacuation stage, and so it's time to get the smoke off the product, so we set the color perfectly, it'll dump the smoke. And sometimes I know, unfortunately, we had a few phone calls. People were doing what they thought was right and would call or call the fire department and say, we think Thrushwood Farm's on fire. So, you know, it's not uncommon to see the heavy smoke. And it's not too bad, except for sometimes you get in those dog days of summer when the air's so heavy and everything clings. But
it's still a great smell, though.
Oh, it is
much better than a fire.
Oh yeah. No, it's when you're smelling, it smells like hams, bacon, snack sticks.
Mm-hmm.
Like you say, throw a little of that sweet in there, or maybe we're smoking a little applewood that day, and it's fun. But it is amazing technology. And we have the ability to do a lot of product, and, you know, so we have like I say, latest technology in the world.
Jim Hankins, Thrushwood Farm, celebrating their 40th anniversary next month. Just real quickly here, you know, that time we talked about a grilling, smoking, and all of that starts, how do I do a steak well? Or how do I do that? You know, how do I make a good burger on the grill? Well, it starts with the quality of the meat.
That helps.
Yeah.
You know, it's this number one. It really does make a difference, and it helps. And we source, you know, we try to source like Aurora Angus, Creekstone Angus, Black Canyon Angus, you know, and or certified Hereford for a lot of our beef products. Then we have certain prime rated pork products that we source, and then of course, you know, with us tweaking all the smoked meats and stuff and being very quality conscious, because we've said this for 40 years, you know, quality's in our name, so we're not going to cut quality. Even in the 80s when things got tough when we were first starting, you know, your first indication is, where can I cut corners? And, you know, you get stubborn and think, no, I'm not going to cut corners, because if we're going to make it as a business, we have to sell quality stuff, because we can't really compete with the Walmarts of the world on price. You know, you have to sell something that's better so the people get done, they enjoy it, and they got value for what they purchased.
Absolutely. So if people have questions about grilling and meats, they can stop by and talk to you guys. Well, you're all knowledgeable out there, so everybody in the place can help them out.
That's one thing we offer, and we're glad to have customers come out. And we, again, thank Galesburg for 40 years, and we look forward to the next 40.
Jim, thanks so much for taking time with us this morning. Congratulations again. 40 years, that's outstanding, and just continuing to grow.
Thank you very
much. So in at the 80-year mark, you're going to have 80 employees?
Well, I don't know. You know, since we've got the next generation coming along here, you know. Your generation will have to talk to my future generation or something, you know.
There we go.
Yep.
All right. Jim, thank you so much again. Do appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Jim Hankins, owner of Thrushwood Farms, joining us here on Galesburg Live. It is 9 o'clock. News on the way next, followed by Ask the Handyman.